wasn't any Social Security or any government programs for these beggars. You either begged or you died. And this was the situation that this beggar found himself in. Now, not only was this kind of a neat account, but it was very significant. Number one is because everybody knew him. They knew this beggar. He was well known because this was his place, and they brought him there every day. He had to have some help, but he went every day. And so everybody knew him. And this is really going to have a big emphasis in this account a little bit later. But not only that, but it was a miracle. And but also, kind of as a little side note here, was this was going to lead to the arrest of Peter and John, and really kind of kickstart the intense persecution of the church that was going to follow here. So Peter and John go to the gate, and as they start through, the beggar reaches out and says, "Alms! Alms!" And so Peter and John stop. Well, this is pretty exciting, because first thing that comes through his mind is, they're going to give me something. And Peter doesn't only stop, he fixes his eyes on him and he says, I want you to watch me here. I want you to look at me. And the man looks up at him, and now he really, really is expected to get some alms, some money. And Peter says to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'm going to give you." And what Peter gave him was going to change his life forever. And so it's worth our looking at, because it has some lessons for us here. As we began to search through this thought here, before we get to what Peter did have, let's look at what he didn't have. One of the things that he did not have was, he did not have any money. He said he didn't. He said, I don't have any gold. I don't have silver. I don't have any money. You know, it's not necessary for us to have money to be faithful servant of the Lord. Aren't you thankful about that? That God's gift wasn't just to the rich or to the Americans or to the white or to it. I mean, it, for God so loved the world that whosoever. And Paul said, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, or male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. It's a whosoever thing. It's a whosoever gift. Me, you, whomever. Whomever will humble their hearts to say, "Jesus, I need you in my life. I want what you have given, what you have died so that I can have." So Peter says, we don't have any money. But it was the Lord who said in Luke 12 and verse 15 that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. But you know, we live in a very financially minded world. And to a lot of people, money is very, very important. And the things that money can buy. But one of the things that Jesus stressed to those that were following him for the loaves and for the fishes was, he said, you know, foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but I don't have anything. I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have anything. And there were a lot of people, whenever he drew that line in the sand, that turned and went away. So many so that Jesus turned to his disciples and said, will y'all go away as well? Are you going to go away as well? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. But now to a lot of people, money's really important. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus kept the commandments from the time he was youth up. Check this off, buddy. Check that list. But when the Lord said, go and sell what you have and come follow me, he turned and went away sorrowfully. So it's the things that money can't buy that really are important things anyway, isn't it? Think back over your greatest memories. Were they money bought or not? I think my most treasured, most precious memories were not things I bought with money. Well, another thing that Peter did not have is he didn't have any education. He said so. You know, later in chapter 4, when he's on trial, the Sanhedrin said that these men are unlearned men. I don't know how they are so bold in their speaking and how they're so knowledgeable, because they're really unlearned men. But often a man is judged by his education, even down to what school did you go to. And we're pretty bad about that. But did you go to Oklahoma Christian, or did you go to Harding, or did you go to Fried Hardman, or David Lipscomb, or Abilene? You know, which Christian school did you go to? And then we kind of gravitate. Well, there you go, man. That's the one I went to, you know. But again, it's not. Our Christian life and our Christian service is not based upon how educated we are. Now, I'm not trying to disparage education. I am all for education. And I'm even more so all for Christian education. And I really appreciate our Christian schools. Education is a fine thing. Education is worthy of our seeking to obtain. So I'm not speaking. I'm just talking about those that put such a premium on education that they disparage those who maybe did not go to college. But there are those that I know of that are wise as anyone I know, and the college they went to was the University of Hard Knocks, and you do well to listen to that kind of wisdom. And then not only that, but Peter did not have a social position. They were just fishermen, just ruddy fishermen. So for a lot of people, if you don't have money and you don't have education and you don't have social position, what do you have to offer? What do you got to offer? Well, let's look at some things that Peter did have. Peter did have a memory. He had been with the Master. He had seen him give aid to the needy, feed the hungry, comfort the downtrodden. He had been with the Master when he opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf, loosened the tongue of those who couldn't speak. He remembered seeing the Master reach out and touch the leper, cleanse him, heal the cripple, the halt, the maimed, the sick. He remembered that Jesus was more about come than he was about go away. And Peter saw that this was a great opportunity. And so he remembered. There are times in God's word when we are challenged to remember. I think of one, whenever the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man looks up and sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and pleads and begs for just a drop of water to touch his tongue. And you recall what Abraham said? Son, that's right. Son, remember. Remember. And so Peter had a memory. Not only that, but Peter had eyes to see. For a lot of people, this was just old beggar man. The old beggar man that sits at the gate beautiful. And they walked right by him. Walked by him day after day after day. And there was no, they weren't compelled or they weren't, you didn't have to give the beggar anything. But just see him. But Peter saw more than the old ragged beggar man. He saw a soul. And that's what we need to open our eyes to see. That everyone is a soul. God breathes into our nostrils the breath of life, and we become a living soul. There is a part of you, there is a part of me, there is a part of each one of us that never ceases to exist. When God said in Genesis, "Let us make man in our image," what did he mean? God have two eyes, two ears? What he was saying is, let's give this creation something we haven't given anything else. We didn't give it to the lions. We didn't give it to the elephants. We didn't give it to the giraffes. We didn't give it to the horses or the dogs. Let's give this special creation of ours something that is like us. And so God gave us eternality. When God breathed into man's nostrils and he became life and he became a living soul, he gave us part of him. He gave us an eternal spirit. And so even though this body will die and return to the dust of the ground from which it came, there is a part of us that will never die. And that's what That's what Peter saw. That and the opportunity. Like we are encouraged to see in Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Then ask God for the ability to see those opportunities. Sometimes we miss some wonderful opportunities simply because they come in a way that we don't expect it to. I don't suppose that Peter started out for the temple that morning saying, well, we're going to do something really spectacular today. But whenever he healed him, I mean, they knew him, people knew him, and so the word got around everywhere, and people were coming to it, and Peter, they kind of cornered him at Solomon's porch, and he started preaching, and he preached one of the great gospel sermons, very similar to the one that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And the people just kept coming and coming and coming until finally there were more people at Solomon's porch listening to Peter than there were in the temple. And this is whenever the high priest got involved. Hey, this has got to stop. And that's when they took them into custody. So sometimes we miss great opportunities simply because they don't come in the way we expect them to do. And then Peter had a faith. He had a faith in God. Peter knew that he could not do this, undertake this great miracle without God's help. And that's why he said, in the name of Christ. And we can't either. Our lives have to be based upon a faith in God and in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatever your hand finds to do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so a lot of times we may fail, but it's because we've tried to undertake the things of this life by ourselves. This morning in our class, and we're studying Matthew chapter 17, and in verse 20 is where the Lord tells the apostles, if you just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be plucked up and cast into the sea. And Matt Bassing had a little different take on this passage, and I've thought about it, and I like that way to look at it. The disciples had just asked the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. And so then Jesus responds in this way. And Matt kind of came at it from another angle. He said, you know, that the Lord may have been saying, and he may have been, to the disciples there, that if you've got faith, use what you've got. Use your faith to obey. And that, you know, if you a little faith of a little old tiny mustard seed, you know. And so maybe we're challenged, need to be challenged, to we're always supposed to grow. But to use the faith that we have. Use the talent that you got. Well, I can't lead singing like Matt does. Boy, he did a good job tonight, boy. Proud of you. I can't lead singing like Randy does, or Doug, or Mike, or these other great song leaders that we have. We are so blessed to have, and you are great singers. I mean, we don't have many tonight because we've got a lot out of town, but and Matt said, sing out, you know. But he doesn't really have to tell you that because you do. And even tonight, with just the quality we have, we don't have that all that quantity, but we got some good quality because it just really was good. And Mark's leading this morning was so inspiring. My daddy used to say, and he was a song leader and a good one. But he used to say a good song service is just like saying sick 'em to a preacher, you know, like you'd say sick 'em to a dog. And well, that these guys sure lay down a high bar. But use what you've got and serve the Lord. But then quickly here, let's look, see that Peter had a commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19-20, the Lord had said, go into all the world, or go to all the nations. In Mark 16, verse 15, go teach all creatures, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. And Peter was doing this. And you know what? It's going to cost him his life. But this is the same Peter that only a few months before had cowered away when a little girl said, are you one of this man Jesus' disciples? Three times, you remember. And now look how boldly he stands up and proclaims the truth. What's the difference? What changed him? Where'd he get that? He got it from the power of the Master. He took his commission very seriously. And Peter had a vocation. He looked at this as his job. And Paul encourages us to do the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Being a Christian is a vocation. It's a life. It's a 24/7. Someone wrote these words. I don't know who, but they're kind of cute. Kind of true. Mr. Business went to church. He never missed a Sunday. Mr. Business went to hell for what he did on Monday. 24/7 is what our life should be. And then Peter had the fellowship of John. Peter and John. Oh, how important it is, this thing called brotherly love. In fact, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a love one for another. It was that love that I was thanking you for on behalf of Pat and I this morning for the 11 years of love that y'all have given us. Now, of course, Chesley came up after services and said, well, I guess softball wasn't one of your big memories because you didn't say a thing in the world about it. So for Chesley tonight, softball was one of my great memories during these 11 years. And Kevin Murray came up and said, well, you didn't say anything about that big pulpit blooper about the daughters of Sarah. And I said, I'm not going to say anything about that. And here I am talking about it, Huff. Huff told me that day, he said, preacher, when are you going to learn to put the shovel up? You're digging yourself a grave. So, yes, I remember those things as well. Those were part of those years. But oh, what we've had, what love we've had, and how much a brother's love, his prayers, his care, his concern, his koinonia, his sharing. Oh, how much those things mean. In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, it said, let brotherly love continue. Peter would write and say, above all things, and he's just mentioned this faith and love, and above all things, put on brotherly love. It is a great, great asset when you're a Christian trying to serve the Lord. And so here it is. What a great lesson we can learn from this time when Peter simply stopped and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I want to give you. That's a challenge to every one of us. What do you have? But maybe more important, what will you give? Will you come? How together we stand and sing.